Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Shalom Fishbein, Executive Director of ACCO and the Kashrus Administrator of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Fishbein, for joining us once again.
Thank you for having
me. We're lucky to be having you here quite a few times to discuss really a tremendous sugya, which is why we're doing these multiple episodes, and that is the sugya of Starbucks. We discussed the overall summary of Starbucks. You spoke about black coffee. Last time you spoke about hot drinks, like lattes, cappuccinos, hot chocolate, and so on and so forth. Many people, though, go into Starbucks not to buy their hot drinks, but to buy cold drinks.
Right.
And, you know, the layman might think, wait, what could be wrong with a cold drink?
Right.
You know, you don't have bleus issues, you know, presumably. There's no Yatsi Ledes issues and so on and so forth.
It's all cold, right?
Yeah, it's all cold. Yeah. Is that the case? And you know, we've a while back we did a conversation about refreshers,
right,
which are cold drinks. And it was clear from our conversation that's not kosher. The bases of the drinks are not kosher. So let's talk about the coffee-related drinks like iced lattes, iced cappuccinos. I know from reviewing the CRC Starbucks list, there's something called a nitro coffee,
sure,
which I'm not familiar with at all. Maybe you'll tell us what that is.
Right.
There's a unique drink called the iced shaken espresso.
Very
which
good.
Also is beyond my pay grade. But I know there are so many of these complex drinks, and they're cold.
Right.
Could a firm consumer buy any of this in a typical Starbucks?
So in halacha, there's two ways that a blia is transferred. One is through heat over yatsa lettuce, which we define as at 120. And then there's something called kovush. Kovush means it's 24 hours, cold liquid in one container that can take on a blia also. And that's where you get into a problem with when you talk about Starbucks, because many of the items that are made, they can be made for days. They could be made and stored for up to 72 hours, some of the products. And those items are made in containers that have been washed hot with treif mamish. So it unfortunately is not so simple, and therefore many of the cold items are indeed not shaila free. Again, b'dieved maybe, I don't know, ask a rav, but we're talking about what's shaila free. So something like a iced coffee. Iced coffee is basically taking hot coffee into these pitchers and letting it sit for quite some time. And these pitchers are washed with non-kosher, so that could be a problem. Something like a cold brew, although they're making it cold, but they are storing it in pitchers that are more than 24 hours. And again, those pitchers were also in the dishwasher or the sinks that cross-contaminated, and therefore it's not shaila free. Again, you could ask a rav, but you definitely do have at least a shaila on the table, and therefore we do not recommend these items. What could one get in terms of ice? There is something called an iced latte. And the way they make it is they make the hot espresso in the cup that they're gonna be giving you to take home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they add some ice in another cup, they mix it. Those, in my opinion, is okay, because you're not getting the shaila part of the heat and the kovush. Other types of cold drinks, obviously milk. You know, people actually order milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's chol stam,
but
people order milk, and that's in various types of milks there. By the way, the cream, you need to always check for a hechsher, because you know, cream, they can either make their own cream or they buy the creams. Creams is a sensitive item, way more than milk is. So that you want to make sure that it's kosher.
As far as the other cold drinks, we mentioned the nitro coffee. Let's take that as an example.
Right.
What is nitro coffee, and does it present other concerns other than your, you know, different than your typical?
It's basically your cold brew, but they add nitro. Imagine like it's almost like a beer. It's like a beer keg. underneath, and you know, it's like a fancy cold, but it's the same Shiloh, the same Shilohs that you have with cold brew, you would have with your nitro. But something maybe like an iced Americano. Remember earlier we said an Americano is okay. An iced Americano is perfectly fine. So here you have an iced product, and it's an Americano, and they're just adding ice to it. So I see no issue in ordering an iced Americano.
Okay, now looking back at this list here, we discussed the iced shaken espresso, which I mentioned before. What is that? and can one, you know, is that problem free?
You know, a shaken espresso was like the newest drink that's, you know, everyone's getting. It's basically you take ice and flavor in a cup, a cold, and then they put an espresso shot into your cup. You know, again, verify that it's going into the cup that you're walking away with,
right,
not into a shot glass.
Right.
And then they just shake it, and they get it all foamy by shaking and charge more money for a shaken espresso. And voila. So if they make it the way I just described, then you're actually going to be watching them, there's no problem. Because, again, the hot part is being made in your cup that you're walking away with. And all the other stuff that you verified is kosher. You want to get it with a flavor. Can I see the flavor? Oh, it's kosher. So you should be okay with an iced shaken espresso as long as the ingredients are kosher.
Got it. Now, any other cold drinks that we didn't address?
There's a new thing called Oleato, which is it's basically, they have three varieties at the moment that it's sort of, it's olive oil. It's extra virgin olive oil into the coffee. I'm not sure who thought of that idea. extra virgin olive oil is one of those things that actually is innocuous that we believe doesn't need a hechsher at all. So you don't have to worry about the olive oil checking to see. You won't even see it on there, but you're okay. It's the various things that they're making with it. At this point, the only one that identified which is doable is something called an Oleato ice shaken espresso with oat milk and toffee nut. At this moment, all of those ingredients are kosher, and including the toffee nut, which is a flavor shot, and the oatmeal, it happens to be, I believe now they switched the dairy equipment, oatmeal, kosher DE, and of course the espresso, as we described it, is made. So at this point, and always, I keep reiterating, always check, because things change a lot in Starbucks, you should be okay getting that. And don't be afraid to ask. They are very happy to show you the ingredients. Say, keep kosher. Quickly, can I just see this? I want to get this. They'll hold it up for you. And it's fine. And they appreciate. You know, I've heard from baristas that they appreciate when people come in and ask them to, you know, they appreciate kosher in general. And they appreciate the fact that you're taking their job seriously. And at the end of the day, if you actually order something, it makes them feel that they've accomplished and they feel good about it.
Now, I want to ask you, you know, we usually discuss facts on this program. I don't want to pour cold water on this topic, no pun intended. But we've had four episodes on Starbucks. And to be honest, I'm sure there are people listening and watching out there who are overwhelmed and saying, Mali Lutzara Azais, why do I need to subject myself to this? You know, maybe I'll live without it. Maybe the Americano is a little simpler, but once you get into the other items, especially, you know, you discussed about like the kitty latte and making sure that it's on the Yatze Ledes. And it's just talk from, you know, based on experience, is this too complex for the layman to really follow the rules and kind of navigate this? Most people are not kashrus professionals. They want to eat kosher. They want to drink kosher. They want to enjoy their coffee as well, of course. But is this really realistic? That's really my question.
You know what? I find the answer to that is location. Certainly in certain communities where there's an abundance of kosher, l'chatchila, with a hechsher, chol v'yisrael places, it's hard to, you know, there's plenty of options. Why get into a lambda shah first seder shtickle tire of how you can drink this thing, right? Why? I always say, I'll give you the facts. what you order is the litmus test of, of your shemayim. Whatever you order after that is up to you, and so that's for sure in many, many communities. There are some communities in America and in the world that literally have no kosher places. The only place they could have a business meeting, the only place they can take their kiruv, they're doing kiruv, is to a Starbucks, especially when you're dealing with teenagers and you want to have a Matzei Shabbos get together and have, and Starbucks is very allowant to people coming in and sitting in shmooze. They appreciate, you see people sitting there for hours. So it's a culture Starbucks does. And there is no choice. So the kitty latte, for example, is exactly for those types of communities that need it. So it's easy for us to say, first of all, who wants to pay that much for a cup of coffee? And the more fancier the name, the more it costs. Who wants to do that? But there really is a world out there of people that are really trying to keep kosher. They want it to be shiloh free, and honestly, this is the only option.
I appreciate very much the way you answered my question because, especially because it goes to the core of the Let's Talk Kashrus, mission, which is to educate and enable, and also to remember exactly like you said. So many of us who live, let's say, in the tri-state area or in big Jewish metropolises, we take it for granted that we have other options. And like you're saying, there are thousands of people who are watching our conversation, who live out far beyond the Midwest, in different towns and cities across the Fruited Plain, who may not have
Absolutely.
The liberty to go into a local kosher coffee house, or whatever it may be. So I really think the way you answered it really, broadens our understanding of the wide world out there. Sometimes we live so much in our Dalai Lamas, and I'm talking about myself very much. As someone who lives in the tri-state, we take that for granted. And I think the reason why it's important also, because I'm sure there are, sometimes there are cynics out there who might watch our four episodes now on Starbucks and say, why are you so magushim? Why are you so materialistic? You need your coffee from this particular coffee shop. Luz up, give it up. But really, it's such an important conversation for precisely the reason you said, that we're enabling those who live in different areas.
Absolutely.
So
This
that's a
honestly,
very
and there's
important.
also, of course, the practical side. If a person's driving and they're tired, it's
They're
a
on the
sakana,
road.
they're on the road,
People travel for business.
general for business, it's a whole different conversation about coffee on the airplane and other types of coffees, which for another time. Certainly on the airplane there's plenty of shilas, the way they wash their kalim and in the dishwashers and at base and all of that. And people say, can I get a coffee on an airplane? I'll say, are you the pilot? Because we need you to be caffeinated. Otherwise, it's not so simple. But there are many reasons why someone might need a coffee, a Starbucks coffee. And yes, there are other places that might be alternatives and whatnot, but very true, very true. It's not just about, I need my Starbucks fix, and there really is practical parts
And the
to it.
truth is, people may have to watch these episodes more than once because we've packed in a lot of information and a lot of it is technical, and maybe people can't digest it in one sitting. One other question I wanted to ask you. I have in front of me the Chicago Rabbinical Council Guide to Starbucks Beverages for the month of Tammuz, Tavshin Pei Gimel, which is when we're having this conversation. If someone wants to get this guide, where could they access that?
So what we'll do is we'll make a list like this, which would be on our website. We also have it on our app. And the idea is that we usually give it a 1 year expiration. And then after a year, we start all over. And sometimes it takes us so long, we actually have to take it down from what it's still already. So there will be tkufas where you won't find anything because it takes so long to do the research and whatnot. But the answer to your question is CRC website, crckosher.org, or we have CRC apps, which are very popular. And that's the best place to get it from.
So we've been talking a lot about the coffees at Starbucks, but one of the popular drinks there are cold teas, iced teas, and the like. Some people, again, will think, oh, tea is innocuous. What could it be? Some tea bags. Is that the case?
Well, there's two things that have to happen to make iced tea acceptable. One is that the tea is actually kosher certified because it is a flavor tea.
Okay.
And believe it or not, not all of the Starbucks very popular teas are kosher. I mean, one of the research I've been trying to do is call a Rabbi Moksha that used to give a hechsher to that company any chance this might be kosher. And I haven't gotten too far.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many of the popular, so you must ask to, if you want to get, you know, a tea, to see the box. But much more importantly, the iced teas are made in a way, they're made hot, and they're hot brewed, double strength, or whatever it is, in these kaolin that are washed in the dishwasher or in the hot sink with non-kosher kaolin. So it's very much a problem. You can get a hot tea where they just take a tea bag, once you've identified that it's kosher, and put it in your cup and make a
of hot water.
And if you want iced tea, have them add ice. And you walk away with iced tea.
Uh-huh.
But the brewed iced tea is definitely not Shiloh free.
Okay. Any final comments on this important topic, just to wrap it up?
You know, Baruch Hashem, as you said, four solid packed episodes. Honestly, it was a tipa shebiyam.
Uh-huh.
There are so many drinks. There are so many. I think the final comment is that, Rabbi Yisai, we all worry about Tumtum HaLev. That's our job, to share ideas and share information to stay away from Tumtum HaLev. Starbucks really is a non-kosher restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We've given options, and all of us need to decide, is this something I want, something I don't want, where I'm holding. There are certain people that are, you know, that keep kosher on Starbucks, but what's the ikker? Is it the Starbucks or the kosher?
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely up to, our job is to give over the information, but if you can, avoid Shiloh's. That's the best way to do it. That's really, I mean, everything starts. We daven every day for all sorts of things, and we learn. And but if there's Tumtum HaLev, if there's blockage of allowing Ruchnius to enter, why need to? So there are some very good Shiloh free options in Starbucks, but don't assume, yeah, Starbucks is fine, everything's fine. It's completely not the case.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing so much of your knowledge, and especially because it's knowledge based on extensive research.
Yes.
So we thank you for the months that go into this every single year. You know, you've enlightened us in this regard, and we really appreciate, again, you coming in and sharing that with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.